We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Tuesday to you. This is Bob Arthurs coming to you on behalf of Merit Assembly of God. You're listening to the Refresh radio broadcast, WMIE 91.5. You can hear us today, 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening, 10:30 a.m. You can hear us on WWBC 1510. So thank you for tuning in. We want to remind you about Advanced Christian Training School, 633-0432, 633-0432. They've accumulated some classes and lectures by some of America's most renowned pastors and teachers. And if you would like to take advantage of this free opportunity to grow in your faith, you can reach Ted and Linda at 633-0432. That class will meet tonight, 6 to 9 p.m. in our fellowship hall. That's at 165 North Grove Street. It's not in the sanctuary building. It's in the building behind. That will be tonight from 6 to 9 p.m. So also want to remind you for the next two Wednesdays, tomorrow and a week from tomorrow, we will not be having our vintage worship service. I am actually out of town this week, and I'm celebrating my parents' 55th anniversary. So it's because of the advances in technology that we are able to bring this to you. So we encourage you to have a great week. I'm going to take you back to Acts chapter 10 here in just a moment. But we are going to have a guest speaker this coming week at church. It's Father's Day, so happy Father's Day to all you men out there. We would also like to tell you, and I will be back, our men's celebration is going to take place not this Saturday, but the following Saturday. We're going to do for the men what we did for the ladies, only with better food. The ladies, they like their fancy food, and we men are pretty simple. So what they spend on decorations, we're going to spend on food. It's going to be a great time. But I do want to also mention one more thing real quick, and that is our Warriors Bible Project. And if you know somebody, we honored our veterans, our military personnel, both active and, well, I guess they're all done now, but on Memorial Day, we told them that we had a gift for them. It didn't get here until a few days after Memorial Day, but we honored them all with what is called the Warrior's Bible. It is a Bible with study notes written by military personnel for military personnel and their families. And so we presented every man and every woman that had served with one of these Bibles. And we are now using that as an outreach to military personnel. And so if you know someone who is struggling, whether it's due to retirement, whether it's due to deployment, whether it is due to the trauma that has been done to them physically or emotionally, or if they just need some help managing while a loved one's on deployment, if you know somebody who could use this, now I'm going to tell you, these Bibles are not free. I mean, they're not free to us, but we would make them available free to anyone who would be able to use that. Listen, the military's access to chaplains seems to be under attack, and so as many people as we can get the Word of God into their hands that they could turn to and find help in their time of need, the better off that they are. If you'd like to help us with that project, maybe you don't know military personnel, but you'd like to help minister to them, this is not a one-time ministry. This is something that is going to be ongoing. The Bibles are running somewhere between $25 and $35, depending upon how what kind of discount we can get on them at the time. And we've been working on getting this developed for several years now. It's finally in print, and now we're putting it into the hands of as many people as we can. We ordered 12 originally. Those did not last a week. We had so many people. Our the men in our church, a number of them took the one for them and one for somebody else, and they took it away. I had people the first Sunday that we handed them out, not the first Sunday that we promised. They were like, Pastor, I need four. And another one said, Pastor, I need five, and I'm going to need five more. And so it's something, it's one way that we can really be a blessing to our military family here in Brevard County. So back to Acts chapter 10 today. Let's begin reading in verse number 37 of Acts, the 10th chapter. The word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. So on yesterday's broadcast, we were talking about how Jesus is the judge. And so let's just begin there and start about this, this look at the approaching judgment. Okay, there are a number of, or there's a large segment of our society that does not want to acknowledge that the Word of God says that there is a judgment day that is coming. But it is. When God says it's coming, it's coming. Any more than if the judge had, you'd have been appointed a court date because you had been arrested or you had been accused of a crime, and you said, you're going to need to appear at such and such a time, and at this point in time, your innocence or your guilt is going to be determined. And so, if you didn't show up, you would be found guilty simply because you didn't show up. The reason that I know that is because I experienced that. I was actually away on a sabbatical. We had just gone through a legal process back in 2001 where we had advanced in our organizational structure from being dependent upon the district to being a sovereign church. And so I'd spent a whole lot of time going over things with lawyers that summer as it relates to constitutions and bylaws and all of that sort of stuff. And I was like, guys, I need a couple of weeks. And so I took 1 week. I went to a revival, and I was on my way to Nags Head, North Carolina, where I was going to be shutting myself in with God for about a week. And while I was on my way from Florida, from the panhandle of Florida up through South Carolina and Georgia, on my way to North Carolina, I stopped for a night in Columbia, South Carolina, and in the middle of the night, somebody was breaking into my car. And so I called the front desk and reported it. They called the police, and they caught the guy. Well, they arrested him, and they the next day I made a phone call. I was supposed to be on the road, and they said, well, there's going to be a trial the very next day, and so we're going to need you to stick around and testify. And that man had evidently received the counsel that there's no need for you to appear because this guy's a tourist. He's not spending he's more than likely not going to spend the day. And so there's really no need for you to show up. But that was bad counsel because I did show up. And the judge said, you know, we apologize this happened to you in our city, but we want to thank you for taking the time. And they found the guy guilty. By the way, when it comes to standing before the judge of all eternity, the judge of all mankind, you don't want to be representing yourself. In the legal circles, there's a saying that says the attorney who represents himself has a fool for a client. You need an advocate. And that is one of the titles that Jesus has in the Word of God, that he is our advocate. That means he stands beside us and he represents us. I've been in a courtroom a few times in my life, and here is what I have been told. Pastor, whenever you cross the threshold into a courtroom, I'm not going to tell you the entire statement here. He says, whenever you cross the threshold into a courtroom, you have entered into my world. You've entered into a world where you need an attorney. And if that's true before a man's court, how much more representation do we need when standing before the throne room of God? You see, not only is Jesus your Savior and your Lord, he is your attorney. And listen, the devil is going to be there. He's the accuser of the brethren. I just want to say this. Whenever you stand in accusation against somebody of unsubstantiated allegations, you are behaving more like the devil than you are like God. And one of the things that it talks about in the scriptures that people get drunk with, they get drunk on the blood of the saints. There are literally, I believe right now, our society is intoxicated on the blood of attacking men and women of faith. I just want to speak encouragement to you. Don't grow weary in well-doing, for you shall reap a harvest in due season if you don't faint. Okay, so I just want to talk. There is a judgment day that's coming. The difference between the judge that we're going to stand before in eternity and the judge that you may stand before here as now is as a man or a woman is the man here on earth may not have perfect knowledge of the circumstances and the details. There are cases going on right now where the judge are saying, wait a minute, you didn't give me all of the information. You only gave me partial information. And so that, by the way, from what I've seen in a courtroom, if you cross the judge, that's never a good thing. But in doing so, they admit that they have their own limitations. What happens a lot of times is Christians want to fall into the world of judgment. Listen, I don't judge by my emotions. I don't judge by what I find to be pleasurable or displeasurable. I let the Word of God be the judge, okay? So whenever somebody says, you judgmental things, say, look, I'm not making a judgment. I'm just looking at it and seeing how it lines up with the Word of God here. This is what the Word says. If you've got a problem with it, you don't have a problem with me. You got a problem with the Word. You got a problem with what Jesus says. And you know, if you want him to let you into heaven, don't you think that you should say not only Lord, Lord, but don't you think you should do the things that he's... We should do life the way that Jesus says, not the way that we feel. Your feelings are deceptive. Your heart is deceitfully wicked above all else. Who can know what the scripture says? It's not just your heart, it's my heart. My heart can lead me astray. My heart, I can make judgments with only partial information. But the good news is that God never makes a judgment that way. God's never wrong because he's got full information. In fact, the angelic host are going to cry in heaven that he is righteous and true and just in all his ways. Every judgment he makes in righteousness. He doesn't make it emotionally. Isn't that one of the things that they tell parents to do is take emotion out of it? Give yourself a chill pill, you know, give yourself a timeout, get your emotions out, and then deal with the situation at hand. God never makes a decision emotionally. He never makes it with partial information. He knows the thoughts and intents of the hearts as well as the acts that we do. He knows the things that are done in secret as well as the things that are done in public. Jesus is that judge. He is the righteous judge. And so if you've never heard that before, you've got to ask yourself, do you want Jesus representing you? Okay? You know, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, Perry Mason was on, and if you had to have an attorney, I would have wanted Perry Mason because Perry Mason won every case. And then there was Matlock, and Matlock was a little bit of a goofier personality, but, you know, he was always right. So I would have wanted him representing my case. That's in a man's court. In a man's court, I want the best attorney that I can get. I want a judge that knows, or I want an attorney that knows the law. How much more do we need a qualified attorney to stand with us before the court of heaven? Did you know that not anybody can stand in a courtroom and represent as an attorney? They have to have special qualifications. Not every attorney gets to stand before the Florida Supreme Court. You have to have special qualifications. Even fewer attorneys have the right to argue a case before the Supreme Court. And there's only one attorney that is ever going to stand and be able to represent you before the court of heaven, and that's Jesus. Why don't we ask him to represent us? I know that I want him representing me. Amen? Let's look at this last little bit here, because it talks about Peter commanded him what he had been commanded to teach. But in verse number 43, it says, to him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. So whenever you are reading the Old Testament and you come across a passage that you may or may not understand, there are a number of those passages are called messianic prophecies. In the book of Psalms and in Isaiah and Jeremiah, a number of those places, they're known as messianic prophecies because they're prophecies that directly relate to the Messiah, the anointed one. And we've already talked about that the anointed one is Jesus. And it says every one of the prophets is pointing to Jesus. They are pointing that through his name, through his act, through his authority, through his work, that there is something that is available. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. The great news about this passage is this is being told to a Gentile. It's not being told to a Jewish person. This is breaking a faith barrier that had been restricted due to ethnicity. And so Peter is saying the witness or the prophets are all testifying that through the name of Jesus, that whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. I am so glad. Today, if you are listening, you are part of that whoever. You are part of that whoever. Your kids are a part of that whoever. Your neighbor and your co-workers, they are part of that whoever. Peter said, you are eligible. Amen? You know, when I was applying for scholarships back when I was going to college and when my kids were applying for scholarships, there were certain scholarships, certain funding sources that were only available to people of a select criteria. I think that there were scholarships available to left-handed people, but not to right-handed people, to people with red hair, but not, you know, any other type of hair. I mean, there were a number of different scholarships, and it's like, really, that's the criteria? I got one scholarship when I went to school, and it was brought to me because I was part of Oklahoma, and it came to me from the Oklahoma District of the Assemblies of God, and I still thank that man that represented and awarded me that one scholarship. It was a blessing. But Jesus says that salvation is not only available for the Jew, it's available for the Gentile. It is for whoever, now get this, believes in him, through his name, whoever believes in him. Today, I want you to know that belief is not a mental position, it is a position of action. I've put my belief in this chair that is in this studio that it is not going to collapse. One day, somebody will put their faith in this chair, and that chair may collapse on them. I hope not, but it may. I've seen chairs collapse before, so I know that it is in the realm of possibility. But Jesus, you can put your faith in him, and he will never fail you. He will never crumble under the weight of your burden. He is sufficient for the task. Today, I encourage you to put your faith in him and believe in his name, because it says that when you do that, you are going to receive something. You've got to put something, you've got to act upon something in order to receive something. It says here, to him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. So when I take my faith and remove it from faith in myself and put it in faith in God, he says, I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you the grace and the mercy, and I'm going to wipe away your sins. A couple of weeks ago, I was reading a headline. All I did was read the headline. I didn't read the entire article. But a judge wiped out, eliminated from the record things that had been in this person's record because he determined that it no longer needed to be there. And he, with one decree, he wiped a person's slate clean. And it's like, doesn't that sound just like the work that Jesus did? That sounds just like the work that Jesus did. He gives us remission of sins. We receive the remission of our sins. You see, Jesus died upon the cross for the sin of the world. The pool of forgiveness is so vast and wide and deep that there is a sufficient flow for every person that has ever lived and ever will live. It's not a question of whether or not forgiveness is available. The question is, have you received it and appropriated it for yourself? And the only way that we can do that is repenting of our sins and putting our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the name at which every knee shall bow and every tongue confess, the name that is above every name, every king, every government, is the name of Jesus. I don't know about you, but I want to put my faith and trust in him. I want to put, if I can't trust him for now, okay, let's just go ahead and put this into a context. If you and I cannot believe Jesus for our here and now, what makes us think that we can believe in him for an eternity that we haven't even begun to experience yet? My wife and I were walking the other day, and I was telling her, I said, you know, there's a lot of people that they say that they believe in Jesus, but I'm not sure that they that they have gone beyond just the mental acknowledgement. Oh yeah, Jesus, I heard about him one time. I think I remember reading about him. You know, I think I remember going to church at some point in time and hearing about that. But that's all that it is. It's a historical awareness of his historical existence. If I believe in him, if I believe in the words that he says, in fact, Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say?" I just want to challenge you today on this Tuesday to believe him. When he says there's a heaven to gain, believe him. I know that society tells you that it's one and done, that when you breathe your last breath, it's all over. But I believe Jesus. And when he says there's a heaven and he's prepared a place for me, that where he is, there I will be also, I believe him. And when he says that there is a hell to shun, I believe him. People say, "You still believe in hell?" Yeah, I do. Literally in 2015, somebody asked me this question: "Do you really believe that Jesus is coming again?" And I was like, "Yes, I do, because Jesus told me he was coming again." Long time ago, before my wife and I were married, I was flying and was on my way to visit my folks for Christmas. And when I got ready to get on the plane, I turned to them and said, at that time I was a youth pastor, and I said, "Fear not, this same youth pastor which you see departing today shall return in like manner." And that was a joke, but I did. I came back on a plane. I got off the same type. But Jesus was ascended to the right hand of the Father, and the angel said, "Men of Galilee, don't be afraid. The same Jesus that you have seen depart today, he's going to come again in like manner." Jesus is coming again because he said he was, and I believe him. I don't know about you, but I want to be ready. I'm more convinced now than I've ever been before in my life that he is coming back, and his return is something I need to be prepared for. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you and praise you right now for the goodness and the grace that you have provided. God, I'm so thankful that you have made forgiveness of our sins available through faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that faith in Jesus would grow at exponential rate here in Brevard County. Touch young men, touch young women, touch grown men and grown women, seniors. God, touch every segment of society, every race and every socioeconomic group. Lord, I pray that there would be a revival that touches this entire county. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."